So welcome back to everybody. It's not to say that we're going to put the final touches on one of the biggest things in Shas. That was the sugya of Tfisa Lachshol HaSofik. So we'll kind of view it as almost like a general discussion about what the halachas are concerning Sfeikas and Mamlo. Let's just backtrack a little bit because it's really the ABCs of the Beis and Maseches Bava Basra. We have a Sofik in Mamon, we're not sure what to do. Reuven's claiming it's his, Shimon's claiming it's his. So we have what the Gemara calls a klal gobo bedin. Klal gobo bedin tells us that hamotzei bechaveiro olav araya. That wherever the money is, that's where the money's going to remain. And I think in secular law, they say something about possession is 9/10 of the law. I think in halach, it's 99.99% of the law. But basically, whoever is the muchzok, so the other person has to be araya. You want to get the money back from somebody else, hamotzei bechaveiro olav araya. We saw a whole discussion in the Gemara, later in the Rishonim. Where does this come from? How do we even know that this is such a cloud of Adin? How do we know that this is such a cloud of Adin? So it wasn't clear whether this was based on a pasuk, whether this is based on a svara, but the din stands. No matter what, the din stands. That the motzvah of Allah Haraya. The only thing that we left talking about before Yom Tov was, what would the halacha be in the following case? What if I'm having a dim time with you, and I'm the muhsuf, the animal sitting in my backyard. I'm wearing the jacket. Look at one place. He's a real soft. Basically, he really doesn't know what to do. So what can he do? So we have to leave it the way it is. Samotzu bechamel of araya. What if you, the other person who just lost the dim Torah, goes ahead and grabs it? And now you have a right to turn around and say, well, now guess what? I'm the muhsuf. You used to be the muhsuf, but now I'm the muhsuf. So to you, Hamotzei Bechalav Araya, go prove. So that's what the Gemara called in Maseches Mabatzia and Davav, Tfisa, that's what we call it. The Gemara discussed it, but we call the phrase, Tfisa La'acha Shenol HaSofek. Once the Sofek already arises, and then somebody else goes ahead and grabs, so one opinion the Gemara said, that Tfisa La'acha Shenol HaSofek is totally meaningless. Can't be, there's no such thing. It's not the wild, wild west. Once the Beis Din Paskin, that it belongs to Reuven, it belongs to Reuven. The fact that Shimon is now the Muchsuch, that's irrelevant, and Shimon has to give it back. That's the view that said that Tfisa L'Achshol HaSofek doesn't work. That was probably the view of most of the Rishonim. And then there was a dissenting view. We got cut off by Huntuf a little bit. So the dissenting view was the Rambam's view. The Rambam understood now that Tfisa L'Achshol HaSofek really does work, and that's why the Rambam holds, in the case of a Sofek Bechor, when you have an animal that we're not sure, is it a firstborn or not? So the Kohen is screaming that it's my animal, it's a firstborn. And the Yisrael is claiming, no, it's not a firstborn. How do we pass it? So the Yisrael gets to keep it. Again, it's Kadosh, and you have to wait till it gets a mum, etc. Those things we spoke a little bit about before Yom Tov. But in terms of the pure monetary question, in terms of the monetary issue, the question of the Dinimovenus, so then we apply the rule of Hamotz Mechavero, Alav Haraya. That's the case, again, according to most of the Rishonim, so Tfisa is not going to work by a Sofek Bechor. Once we pass, it's a Sofek Bechor, the Yisrael keeps it finished. The Kohen has the right to be Tefis. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, Tuk for Kohen, Motzim Yado. Rambam says that if the Kohen grabs it, so now he changes the facts on the ground. Now the Kohen becomes a Muchsuk, and we're going to let him, we're going to enable him to keep it. So those are the two, almost Shitos, the Kitzoni, the two extreme views in the Sugya. Those Rishon who said that Tfisa L'Achshol HaSofek is meaningless, it's totally irrelevant. And the Rambam says, no, Tfisa L'Achshol HaSofek is very, very meaningful. Then there were almost like a little bit of in-between Shita, something that we explored a little bit before Yom Tov. We're going to make reference for a moment now before we lead into segue, really into the next thing we want to talk about. There were some Shitas that were kind of in the middle. Some Rishon in those, one view of Tosis that said that Tfisa L'Achshol HaSofek sometimes works. Sometimes if the person grabs, he gets to keep it, and sometimes not. What does it depend upon? It depends upon what his claim is. In the case of a Sofek Bechor, how in the world does the Kohen know whether it's a firstborn or not? He wasn't on the farm. How does he know what the facts are? That's called a Tfisa with a Taina Shema. A Tfisa with a Taina Shema is a waste of time. A Tfisa with a Taina Shema is irrelevant to the halacha. You have no right to go grab things. And you grab things and you're not even sure that you're entitled to what you're grabbing. We have a name. It's called anarchy. It's called the wild, wild web. You grabbed it. Like, who are you? Be some police. You go ahead and grab something. But, says Tosfos, if you grab something with a Titus Bari, if you are convinced that it belongs to you, and you have reason to claim that it belongs to you. Now, We don't have confirmation of that reason. We have other people who are disagreeing with you. Okay, I'm entitled to my opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. But if you have a tefis or with a tainus bari, that's a whole different story. Then perhaps tefis lachshon safek will work. And then there's a fourth view, which we ran out of time before Yontif. The fourth view is somewhere else in the middle, that tfisa of Bechor is a little bit different than tfisa of other case of Dinei Mamonos for the following reason. When we have a suffix, who owns this Bechor? Who has the monetary rights of the Bechor? So the Yisrael screaming that it's not really Bechor and it's really mine, it's a regular animal and I get to keep it. And the Kohen screaming, no, it's not, I think that it's a Bechor and I get to keep it. Even if the Kohen, quote unquote, is right, even if, far from knowing whether he's right or not, even if the facts are in the Kohen's direction, that in fact this animal is the Bechor, the Yisrael still has a claim to this animal. He doesn't have a claim to the goof animal. He has a claim to what's called Tovas Hanah. He can decide who and which Kohen he's going to give that animal to. So when Kohen, ex-Mr. Kohen, grabs the animal, the Yisrael has a right to turn around and say, wait a second, you have no right to grab that animal no matter what. First of all, it's not even a Bechor. And even if it's someone that is a Bechor, you still, what you did was wrong. You had no right to grab that animal. The Torah grants the Tovas Hanah to the Yisrael. The Yisrael has the right to decide who he wants to give that Bechor to. So comes the Shach in your Adaya, comes a Levush in your Adaya and say that the Sugya of Tukfal Kohen, when the Kohen grabs a Bechor, is not the same as walls falling down above a basher in that days, not the same as documents that we're not sure whether the witnesses are valid or not in Subis in the second parak. The different sugyas look at where he says the Shach. But when you're dealing with the pure Suffolk Mammon, where it's either Reuven's or Shimon's, that's it. If it's Reuven's, it's Reuven's. If it's Shimon's, it's Shimon's. And there's no in between, there's no compromise. So then we can negotiate. Maybe Tefisa does work, maybe Tefisa doesn't work. But by a Bechor, how are you talking? How can anybody say that Tefisa is going to work, says the Shach? After all, the Kohen, even the Shita also had no right to be Tefis, because the Yisrael always had a Tavas Enoch. So the background, you know, the Sikkum, the summary of everything that we spoke about, and we cut through some of the 17 or so Marba Kovas of the Sugya, but the summary of what we left off from before Yom Tov, which really sets the stage for today's Sugya, is there are almost four different possibilities. There are a couple of other nuances of possibilities as well, but for our purposes, there are really almost like four different possibilities. There are those who believe that Tefisa always works, there are those who believe that Tefisa never works, there are some who believe that Tefisa sometimes works, and there are some who believe that Bechor is a totally different Sugya. Bechor is Luchud, Iksubis, Babatil Luchud, they're Lagamri different Sugyas. But this is all presupposing the following, that Hamotzim Chavela Baraya, we have a suffocating moment. Bezim has no idea what to do. So what do you do? What? Where it is? Wherever it is? Amotzuch levarai. Again, either based on a pasuk, based on a svara. That's what the Gemara actually calls the Bavakama. Zet klal gadol b'din. And nevertheless, that statement, Amotzuch levarai, is not always true. There may be another klal in Dinei Mamonos that may fly in the face of that klal. And that's what the name of the next sugya. So we're actually going to begin sugya 3 for now. The name of the sugya itself is already problematic. Mamon hamutal b'safek cholkin. When we have a doubt as to who is the rightful owner of any given property, so we split it. It's a famous statement of Chazal, mamon hamutal b'safek cholkin. If you ever wonder and ask yourself, wait a second, we spent three shiur before Yom Tov and the last 15 minutes recapping from before Yom Tov, advocating for hamotzim chalev araya. When you have a safek and mamon, so you keep it where it is. And now, all of a sudden, staring us in the face is a contradictory rule called Mammon Hamutal B'Safek Cholkin. How can that be? How can there be such a rule called Mammon Hamutal B'Safek Cholkin if there's a rule called Hamotzim Chaveiro L'Barayim? So that's really going to be the goal of the next sugya, to try to see, is there a way to resolve these two statements? Or maybe not. Maybe they're actually a contradiction. Maybe there's really a machlekes about this topic. So let's see if we can begin the sugya. We're going to start with the first of the Mamakamos. Going back to Bava Basra Dabeis, but just as we saw in the previous sugya, we started in Bava Basra Dabeis, but quickly ended up in a Torah through Shas. That's where we're going to end up in a similar Torah as well. So let's begin with the first of the Mamakamos. Lefikach Nafal HaKosel. Let's just put ourselves back into the mindset from pre-Yontif about the wall. It all started, the first mission of Bava Basra started with Shushfin, two partners in a courtyard. And the two partners in the courtyard built a wall together. Why did they build a wall? Who made them build a wall? So one of two reasons why they built the wall in the first place. Either that's the first sugya, the base of a base of the Masra. Why did they build this wall? It's one of two reasons. Either they built this wall because the halacha requires of them to build a wall because of what's called hezek re'iyah. If two people sharing a courtyard, so there's a little bit of privacy in the courtyard. I don't want you to be looking over, looking over to see what I'm doing in my backyard. So that's called hezek re'iyah. I have a right to take you to a din Torah and force you to participate, to contribute halfway to building this wall. I don't want to be mazik you by looking over to your property. You don't want to be mazik me by looking at my property. Again, it's not mazik in the classic sense of the word, but hezek re'iyah shmei hezek. That's a valid claim in Beis Din. I have a right to claim in Beis Din. I don't want an intrusion to my privacy. And therefore, if we split the courtyard and each one of us wants to use it for an appropriate private manner, we have a right to insist that I can take you to a claim in Beis Din to help me build a wall. That's called hezek re'iyah shmei hezek. The Gemara then quoted another opinion that says, if you're lav shmei hezek, that's not a claim. I can claim that I don't want your animals to eat my carrots. I can claim that I don't want you to smash my window, but I can't claim that I don't want you to look into my backyard. That's a meaningless claim in halacha. You want to be a nice guy, Matovo Halacha Yaakov, don't look in my backyard. I can't take you to court. I can't sue you. Help me build a wall because I want my privacy. So what's the Mishnah talking about then? The Mishnah says I should fit have to build a wall. The Gemara says, according to that opinion, it's talking about that the partners agreed to build the wall. When they split the courtyard 10 years ago, they signed the contract. They made a kinyan chalipin. They made a kinyan, whatever it was, to divide up the courtyard and built into that. There was a clause about requiring them to build a wall. So once they obligated themselves to build a wall, then they have to build the wall. So for one of two reasons, this wall must be built. Then the Mishnah said about the Basra, we know that this wall was built for shutfus. There's no question that this wall was built 50-50. The wall could be 20 years old. We don't have records of who paid, but it's understood. Either because of hezek re'iyah or because there was an agreement. But Mike said the wall for sure was built 50-50. Now, 20 years later, the wall falls down. And we have some good rocks, good stones, good building material that's there. And all of a sudden, the two parties come screaming to Beis Din. And Reuven says, I paid for the whole wall. And Shimon says, no, I paid for it. They're fighting. Who paid for the wall? And the Mishnah says, you split it 50-50. Understood you split it. Why you split it? So the Mishnah says, Lefikach Naf Lakaisa. That was the Bar Makom from last Sugya. Lefikach Naf Lakaisa. Since we know for a fact that it was built 50-50, either because the halacha insisted hezek re'iyah or there was an agreement, so we know what happened 20 years ago. We know for a fact what happened 20 years ago. That's why they split it 50-50. So came the Gemara and said, wait a second. It sounds a little bit that if not for the fact that we know that they split, that they built it 50-50, we would have possibly paskined in a different way. Possibly we would have said something different. Wait a second. Don't we follow muhsuk? Don't you follow where the wall is? What's going on? So that's what got the whole sugya started about muhsuk and the basafek. So comes Tosfos in the first of Rambam Kamos and makes the following observation. L'fichem Rav Lakos. V'im hayu boi lachlok says Tosfos, what would the din have been if the wall wouldn't have fallen? We spent all the time talking about the fallen wall. What would the din be? There's a wall standing here between Reuven and Shimon. And let's say both agree to take down the wall. They both live out of town. No one's here anymore. They couldn't care less about it. They both agree to take down the wall. And now they're arguing who owns the material, who's entitled to the stones. So what would the din have been under those circumstances? So says Tosfos, the answer was obvious is they would have been chalkim b'shafim b'safek. Obviously they would have split it 50-50. Why would they have split it 50-50? Because that's a mamon hamutol b'safek. Wait a second, mamon hamutol b'safek. That's the name of Asugya. And we don't quite understand why that's true. So Tosfos makes reference to a machlokes between Sumchus and the Rabbanim. We're just going to say it outside a little bit and we'll go back to Tosfos. There is a machlokes that appears in the fifth pech of Kama, in the eighth pech of Metzia. A machlokes between Sumchus and the Rabbanon. What do you do when you have a mamon hamutol b'sofek? What's the example of mamon b'sofek? So there's a Mishnah in Bava Kama. Mishnah tells us that one animal is running after another animal. Reuven's animal, shor shroches apara. So Reuven's ox is running after Shimon's cow, and it gores and attacks Shimon's cow, and it kills Shimon's cow. There's no question that obviously Reuven has to pay, has to reimburse the Shimon for the cow. Whether it's a shotam, shamuat, halfway, full, that whatever the details are. But clearly, kigach, kigach, shor ish, shor eil, obviously the shor shor has to pay. But wait, there's more to the story than that. In addition to the dead cow, there happens to also be a fetus here. There's an Uber here. There was a miscarriage here, which is also a loss of money to the Baal HaPara. What's the problem? The problem is we're not quite sure what, when, and what caused this miscarriage. Was this miscarriage a result of the Negicha, and therefore the Baal HaShor would be obligated to pay? Or do I say no? That maybe this cow miscarried beforehand. I don't know. Maybe before it was gored, it already miscarried. So that's the opening mission of the fifth parak of Baba Kama. Shor shenagach hasapara, v'nimtza ubra betzida. So the shor gored the para, and you find an uber lying on its side, and what do you do? Give out. There's a famous joke in the yeshivas that sometimes people criticize that many yeshivas they learn very slow, including ourselves. So they don't get too far. So. Mishnah starts to show Shor Chesapara. Ooh, so the Bacham starts to ask Gashem. Why does it say Shor Chesapara? Why doesn't it say Shor Chesashor? So when he gets Hishtach Utair and he gets Hishtach Utair, for 2 weeks they spend in the Gash, Shor Chesapara. And then you get to the next line because the Parah miscarried. So most of the time it's the female Parahs that miscarry, not the male Parahs that miscarry. So, that's the reason why the Mishnah says that. So the bottom line is the Mishnah says, so what do you do? So the Mishnah says that we don't know what to do. It's a moment of the suffering. And therefore, we insist that the Baal HaShor pays half towards the damage of the Uber. That's a little bit of a tricky number, half. We have to get our math caps on early in the morning. If it's a short time, then anyway only pays half. So then half of half is a quarter. So you only pay a quarter damage for the Uber. If it was a Shomuad that was Nageach, so then you would pay Nezek Shalim for the Para and Chati Nezek for the Vlad. That's a Fesha Mishnah in the fifth parak of Baba Kama. Shor Shor Sabar Mitzvah Mitzida, Mishalim, half of what you would have otherwise had to pay if we would have known for sure that your animal caused the miscarriage. So comes the Gemara and says, really? You pay half? What do you pay half? Because Mamun Amutam Safi Chokin, yes, the Gemara, what? The Baal HaShor is Mufsak on his money. Why don't we apply the opposite rule called Hamotzi V'chaveiro Olav Haraya? What you don't know, leave the money like where it is. Remember, keep the money where it is. Why does the Baal HaShor have to pay for the Uber at all? Hamotzi V'chaveiro Olav Haraya. So the Gemara on this spot says, you're right, it's a machloikes, Sumchus in the Rabban Machloikes HaTeroim, Sumchus is the Talmud Mubim Rabbi Meir, and Sumchus was the Tana that said, Mamun Amutam B'Safik Chokin, and the Chachamim's opinion was not Chokin, rather Motzach Leiv Olav Haraya. So we take a quick look. We just jump for a second out of Maror Makom number one to Maror Makom number two, and now we're going to read it inside. So now we have the back, but we know the story. Let's read it inside. So Shor Shenoch Hasapar, the second of Maror Makom, Mishum Baba Kama, Shor Shenoch Hasapar, Vinim Tzuva Betzida. The Ein Yadua, we don't know. Imachlo Nocha Yolda. Mishenoch Yolda, we don't know whether the miscarriage happened before the goring or after the goring. Mishalim chatzin nezek lepara or via nezek levad. So it's talking about a short time. So you pay half damages for the para, because that's all you have to pay anyway for short time. Or via nezek levad, and you pay a quarter damage for the vlad. We're going to skip a little bit down to the Gebarim, to two lines at the bottom of that Maror Makom number two. Amar Gvida Meshmuel, Zu Debri Sumchus, the Yama Mamun Mutu Besafi Chokin, Bachacham Omim Zeklal Gal Badin Matzach Mila Raya. Says the Gebarim on the spot, that Mishnah, it's true according to one opinion, but the majority opinion, the Chacham, everybody else held that Zeklav Gol B'din, Hamotzi V'chaveir Lo V'raya. So here in Baba Kama Daf Mem Vav, we are introduced to two different principles in Din Mamonos that do not coexist, that are actually contradictory to one another. There was a major machlokes sumchos in the Rabbanan. What do you do when you have a Mamon Amutu B'Safik? So before Yom Tov, we were talking Matzach Mila V'raya, we were talking one language, and now the Gemara introduced us a different language, a different approach to Gamri. called Mamun Amutu B'Safek Cholkin. So now that we know the Gemara Baba Kama, that there are two different views on the matter, what you do when you have a Safek Mamun, so now we have to go back to the wall in Baba Basra. So the Tosa just got finished telling us, the Gemara Baba Basra got finished telling us before Yom Tov, that when in doubt about what to do with the wall, you split it. The Gemara applies, and Tosa applies Mamun Amutu B'Safek Cholkin. Why are we bringing Sukkos back? Why is Sukkos playing a role here? What happened to Motzach Chilav Araya? What's the answer of Baisai? There is no Muxuk here. In the case of the wall, who's the Muxuk? We're both Muxukim, or neither of us are Muxukim. The wall comes tumbling down, or the wall is standing on both of our properties. There is no Muxuk. So comes tells us with the first Good shattering discovery of our sugya comes to us and says, back to the first three Rambam comes now. Back to the first line. If the parties would have divided the wall when it was standing, we would have passed it, they have to split it. Afilu l'rabbanu d'sumchus. Even the rabbanu d'sumchus, the leis l'humam n'mutu b'safi chokin, who don't accept the rule of sumchus, who disagree with the Mishnah Baba Kama, hacham odu. In the case of the wall, they would agree. Why? Kevin the lake, hacha chazok l'zeh, yosim l'zeh. Says Tosfos, the following critical part of the sugya. There was a machlokes, whether you apply the rule of Mamar Mutu Basafi Chokar or not. That's if you have a better option. The Rabbanu of the opinion, there is a better option. The better option is Muhsuk. The better option is Mosuk Elabaraya. But if there is no better option, like in Baba Basra, where there is no Muhsuk, the wall standing, or the wall fell and it's equally distributed, there is no Muhsuk. So it comes to us and says, when there's no Muhsuk, even the Rabbanon subscribe to Subchus's view. So the name of our sugi is Mamana Mutu Basafi Chokin. So some people's initial reaction to the sugi will be, oh, come on, we're going to spend the next 3 days talking about Sumchus Ishita. We don't follow Sumchus. No, not so simple. We don't follow Sumchus if and when there is a Motzvachim of Raya to play with. But if there is no Motzvachim of Raya and it's just a plain and pure, simple Mamana Mutu Basafi, so then even we concede to Sumchus. So Mamana Mutu Basafi Chokin is an important rule in Dini Mamnas. It's not as important as it is in Subchus's handbook of Dini Mamnas, but it is an important rule as well. So now let's backtrack for a second. Now we're sitting on Din Torah, three Dayanim sitting on Din Torah, and two parties are screaming and yelling, and we don't know what the facts are. It's a Mamnut Musafi, we don't know what to do. So what do we do? What rules are we looking for? How would we pass it at Din Torah? So the first thing that we're going for is Musuk, Musuk Levaraya. If we can pull up a Musuk Levaraya, that's what we're going to pass it. That's why in the case of the Shoshlach Sephara, we will not follow this Mishnah. We will paskin. Chachamim will paskin. The owner of the shore does not have to pay for the vlad. Not at all for the vlad. It's a suffix. I'm muksuk on the cash in my wallet, my pocket. I'm not going to pay you a penny for the vlad. For the parah, I'll pay you, but not for the vlad. So the first thing we're going to look for is muksuk. If and when muksuk doesn't exist, then the second thing we're going to look for is going to be Mamun Mutu B'Safik. So it's not that we deny Mamun Mutu B'Safik, we just have it on a lower end of the spectrum as to just how significant, how important it is in terms of paskining up Shaz of Dini Mamnas. But now we have to go to the next level because there may be something in between. There's Muhsuk, a Muhsuk on my jacket, a Muhsuk on my glasses, a Muhsuk on my hat, a Muhsuk on my shirt. That's Muhsuk. And then there's no muhsuk whatsoever. That's the wall standing. Nobody owns the wall. Is there anything in between? And if there is something in between, how does that play out in terms of the hierarchy of paskinik, sfeikus, and mamonis? So let's take a look now at the third of the Rambam Kamos. That's the Mishnah and Maseches Bamitzia and Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. Mishnah begins, actually presents us two cases. We're going to focus on one. The second case just gets more complicated, but we're going to try to stick to the first case of the Mishnah. Hamachlif par b'chamor v'yolda. I enter into the following deal with you. I have a cow, and you have a donkey, and we want to switch. So I want to be machlif my para for your chamor. So the halacha happens to be, when we're machlif, one item for another, once a maisa kinyan is done on one of the items, then the other one automatically belongs to the other person. So it's kind of like a chalipin. It's a little bit like a chalipin. It's called chalipin shavah b'shavah. So I'm flipping for you a donkey for a cow. So once you are cone of the donkey, you make a kid in a donkey. You pick up the donkey, move the donkey, you moshech the donkey. Whatever you do to the donkey, once you make a kid in the donkey, then the parah automatically belongs to me. So now listen to what happened. Let's skip down skip the next couple of words because it's complicated with mechiras shvachas and avadim. We'll leave that out. Zel mer v'yolda. And all of a sudden, when I come to pick up my newly acquired cow, I get a mazel tov. There's a calf sitting right next to the cow. What's that problem? V'yolda. Oh, now the din Torah starts. Zel mer ad shlo macharti. So the owner, the previous owner of the cow says, oh, that calf was born before the sale was valid. Zel mer mishal lakachti. And the other fellow, the now owner of the cow says, no. It was born afterwards. Obviously, when this calf was born, it's critical for who owns the calf. a calf belongs to whoever owned the cow at the time of the birth. The problem is we don't have documented who owned the calf because no one was here. Because we were in the donkey farms. We were the Mashiach on donkeys, and nobody was watching. We don't have the cameras going on and seeing at what time exactly was the moment of birth. The vet didn't tell us exactly what time this calf was born, so we have no way of knowing. So I'm screaming, it's my calf, and you are screaming, it's your calf. Do you know what the Mishnah says? Yach, like you split it, like Shlomo Melech. Doesn't mean you have to kill the calf for that. You sell the calf, you split the money, whatever, yach, like you. But they shechta, they join each other for dinner, whatever the case may be, yach, like you. So they split the calf. Ad kan devar Mishnah. So comes the Gemara, the third of Ramah Garbson says, wait a second, am I yach, like you? Why did they split the calf? V'lechzei bishus deman kaiba. Why don't we see whose property is this calf in right now? What does the Gemara mean with that statement? Whoever's property that calf is in is the muhsuk, the levi idach hamotzei b'chaveiro levaraya, and the other party should be the motzei b'chaveiro. The same way I'm muhsuk on my jacket, and now we're having a fight who owns the jacket. I win the jacket, so too we're fighting on who owns the calf. Whoever's muhsuk on the calf, so wherever that calf is present right now, he's the muhsuk. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abin, Amar Shmuel. That the calf is in nobody, it's in no man's land. It's out in the fields, out on the marsh, on the meadow somewhere. That's the problem. There is no muhsuk. So we're going to skip the shivcha part. So yes, the Gemara at the end of that line, the nokma cheskes de markama, the ida chamot v'chleverai. He says, wait a second. Even though nobody's muhsuk on the calf is out in the middle of no man's land, but we know who used to own this cow. Who used to own the cow, i.e. the previous owner of the cow, the one who's now acquired his donkey, the guy who used to own the cow, he has what's called a cheskes marakama, a whole new term. I mean, not a whole new term. We've used the term before, but cheskes marakama. He used to be the owner. He used to be the muhsuk on this cow. So let him win the cow. What the Gemara just asked was as follows. Muhsuk. That, of course, that's great. Musik is phenomenal. That carries the day. But we don't have musik here. So the Gemara says, well, part two, you don't have musik? Let's follow Cheskes Marakama. He answers the Gemara, Hamani Sumchasi. This Mishnah is Sumcha speaking. The Yama Maman Mutma Safik Chalkim Below Shvua. Sumchas was the one who said, oh, it's a Safik Mamon, therefore you split it. Implying that according to the non-Sumchas people, namely everybody else, the Chachamim, we would not have said Cholkin, even though, guess what? There's no Muhsuk. Why? Because there was some new entity here called Cheskas Mara Kama. That's going to set the stage for Mishnah tomorrow, continuing the Sugya, as to the Gemara just introduced to us a third factor we didn't know yet. We knew the two extremes. We knew Muhsuk, we knew no Muhsuk. But we never heard of this third category called not quite Muhsuk. On the other hand, it's not quite no Muhsuk. It's somewhere right smack in the middle. And that alters all the rules of the Dinamamunus. So we have a lot of work cut out for us. Again, we Sugya number two really, really segued right into Sugya number three. We started out talking about Muhsuk is the greatest thing in the world, and we're not even sure Tefisa works, and if it works, it's very, very limited in scope. And now we're chiseling away at Muhsuk, and wait a second, there are other things to talk about. There's Murakama, there's Mamut Musafi Chokin, there are a lot of other things flying around that all of a sudden take a little bit of the strength away from the parish of Muhsuk per se. Hopefully, it's Hashem. Can't say we'll finish this part of the Sugya tomorrow, but at least get the ball rolling a little bit. And hopefully, after a couple more days of the Sugya, we'll try to put together what we spoke about from pre-Yomtev and post-Yomtev to try to see him a little bit on this concept of what do you do when you have these Sfeikas and Mamunos. It's a really good way almost to start off with a Basra. It was 176 blot of Sfeikas and Mamunos. It's good for us to know what are you supposed to do when we have these kinds of Sfeikas. I'll show you tomorrow. Okay, so what time do we decide? But it's not a 15-minute start. 10 minutes early. So should we just go with the 10 minutes early tomorrow? I think so. We'll just go with a 10-minute early start tomorrow.
What time tomorrow? What time tomorrow? All right, Sabusky, what time tomorrow?
Tomorrow 6:10. 6:10 tomorrow.
Thank you.
3:10 your time, whatever time it is. That'll be change the clock.
Not yet. Thank you very much.
The clock is going to change hands as soon as the...
Right, but it doesn't matter. But